In an introduction to the song Least Complicated, which was recorded in concert and then produced on an album, one half of the Indigo Girls, Emily Saliers, says about her own life experience, "You have to laugh at yourself because you'd cry your eyes out if you didn't." This past week and a half or so, I've done a lot of both. A lot of laughing at myself, a lot of crying my eyes out if and when I didn't. And the first thing that I want to say is just a huge thank you to you folks, and just lift that up and celebrate that for your support and your understanding and knowing where I needed to be, and your notes and your thoughts. It's really appreciated. And that little line on the bottom of the bulletin on the inside where it says that I'm the pastor, but the ministers are all the members of the congregation, that's not a cute little throwaway thing that we say just to be nice. That's true. And you minister to me and to one another and to the world. So thank you. About a week and a half ago, my sister-in-law, Rachel, Benji's sister Rachel, for whom we had lifted prayers of celebration, miscarried in the 10th week of her first pregnancy. And Mary, my mother-in-law, and I found out about it while we were at triannual conference, found out that this was probably happening. And Mom was able to leave conference on Thursday morning. She went up to be with Rachel. Benji and Ari went up on Friday, and after conference session ended on Saturday, I joined them. And as you know, if you were here last week, was able to stay through the weekend and be with Rachel and with my family at that time, because I knew that you folks would hold down the fort and would understand that. And that is where I needed to be. So again, thank you. It was a painful and a process physically and emotionally. So I was glad I could be there with her for that. At the same time, I had lifted some prayers a few weeks ago for the sister of one of my best friends, Becky, who was pregnant with triplets, and one of the triplets wasn't doing as well as the other two. She did lose that that one and is now pregnant with twins. It's probably much healthier for her and for the children that she will deliver, but again, a loss and a sorrow. Some other difficult and painful and emotional stuff has been going on with my mom and my stepfather. Just not a good week. And in the midst of all of this, I was at annual conference. An annual conference is like my church. I'm not a member. Clergy aren't members of their churches. They're members of their annual conference. So our annual conference, triannual conference, is my church, basically. That's where my membership is. And we took a very difficult and emotional vote on Friday, a week ago Friday. And that decision was that we knew that our conference, because it's small, is going to join with neighboring conferences. And the decision that we made was to recommend that we don't do that altogether, which is what I would have liked, for all of Troy Conference to become part of a new conference in New York or part of New England Annual Conference. But the vote we took was that we would separate, and that the clergy and the churches in Vermont would become part, we recommend, to become part of New England Annual Conference, and the churches and the clergy in New York would become part of a new conference in upstate New York. Again, just not that there's not wonderful things that are going to happen out of that new change and these new conferences that are going to be larger and more filled with people and ideas and energy and better able to do ministry, we hope and we pray, but a sorrow at that loss and that leave-taking. So on Friday when we took this vote, because I was on the New England / Troy discussion team, we were up on stage, so we were all sitting up on stage. You kind of have to picture like this row of us sitting up on stage. And there was we were introduced and waved and stuff, and then a discussion kind of starts, and people are expressing hopes and joys, but also sorrows. And I start getting a little emotional. Because it's been a rough week. And because, if you know nothing else about me, I'm nothing if not honest. And if there's an emotion, the Methodist Church frowns on poker playing anyway, but I do not have a poker face. So I start getting kind of emotional. Well, we had anticipated taking a paper ballot about this because it was such an emotional issue, but people felt pretty strongly, and we knew it was going to be that this vote was going to turn out this way. It was pretty clear. So they just wanted to vote by hand, which meant they didn't dismiss us from up on the stage. They just moved right into the vote. Well, I wasn't prepared for that. So the bishop calls for a moment of silence before the vote. And it's all I can do to keep from, like, voicing this incredibly awful sob. I am just pouring. I have no tissues. I've left my tissues on my chair. I'm seated with 20 people on a stage, pastors and lay people, very prominent ministers in the world. Not a one of them has a tissue. I am wiping my eyes on my hands and my nose on my hands. I start wiping on the guy next to me. Ted Vickery, my new friend, conference chair of the Council of Finance and Administration. I got to know Ted very well because I wiped my nose all over the poor man. And then on Holly Nye, the conference minister on the other side. It was embarrassing. It was a mess. It was awful. I was so, you can ask Betsy because she was watching the whole thing. She had a front row ticket. It was really an emotional thing, and I can laugh about it now. But it was so difficult to be there. You have to look back. You have to laugh at yourself, because you'd cry your eyes out if you didn't. So when I read Genesis 18 this past week, it hit me like right between the eyes. You know, like, here's Sarah. And we are told in another point of the story that she's like 98 or 99 years old. I mean, whether we're supposed to take that literally or just know that Sarah is really old. And it has ceased to be with her with the way of women. She can no longer physically conceive a child. She doesn't have that ability anymore. But she's been wanting a child. This has been a huge thing for her and Abraham. They've been trying to have a child for their entire marriage. Now, I mean, if they got married at like, I don't know, 15 or whatever, you know. She's been trying to have a child for like, what, 80 years or something, you know? And so here's this woman, and she's been through every emotion she can possibly have in that. You know, I imagine there were times when they thought that they'd conceived a child and they got excited for a time only to find out later that they weren't able to carry that child or that they weren't able to get pregnant. And they've been trying and finally have given up. You know, and have, you know, because now it's far, far too late. And in walk these three guys who she's never seen before. And they tell Abraham, not her, hey Sarah, we got some good news for you. They tell her husband, well, she just happens to be in earshot, oh, your wife is going to have a son. And Sarah, bless her heart, laughs. Now, I've heard that laugh in many different ways. Many different times reading that passage. Sometimes it's a joyful laugh, you know, like, great! Sometimes it's just a laugh at the sheer silliness of it, like, have we met? Look at how old I am. Look at my husband. I mean, you really think that anything is going to be going on here? Come on, this is kind of silly. But this week where I was, in the grief that I'd been experiencing, I really heard what a lot of people hear sometimes. I heard cynicism. This time. I heard, right. Who are they? They don't know what this is like. They haven't spent 80 years trying to have a child, and now they show up? Where were they when I was 20? Where were they when I was 30? And they show up now? The nerve. This God messenger thing. Like they have any right. And I thought to myself, you go, girl. Laugh. Go right ahead, because you'd cry your eyes out if you didn't. How unfair of them to wait all this time, to make you suffer this long. How unfair that all these terrible things have to happen in your life, or in my life, or in your life. How unfair that only after all of that do we get this word that there's some good news. That sounds pretty unbelievable. You go ahead and laugh, because I'd cry my eyes out if I didn't. Generations later, there's a story about Moses as he leads the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses is told to strike a rock with his staff and water will flow out of it. You know this story? And Moses doubts that that's going to happen. And he strikes the rock more times than he's told, according to this story, right? And what we're told is for that doubt, for that moment of doubting God's word, Moses is refused entry into the promised land. That's what we're told. And yet here's Sarah. She doesn't just, you know, like give a rock an extra tap. She outright laughs in the face of God's messenger. Well, I mean, she's behind the tent, but, you know, she outright laughs at this prophecy. And she is not condemned for that. She is not judged for that. And what I take from this is that God understands. God understands that people who've been living in pain have to laugh at themselves or they'd cry their eyes out if they didn't. God understands that sometimes part of what we experience is incredible joy and incredible sorrow all mixed up at the same time, and what comes out is this expression that we don't even have any control over, whether it's a cynical laugh or it's tears and nose drippings all over the person next to you. What comes out of you is just who you are in that moment, and God understands that. And the beauty of this story, we know how this story ends. In fact, we see much farther into this story than Sarah sees. We know that, in fact, she does have a son, and she names him Isaac, which means laughter. And we know that her son does grow up to become himself a patriarch. We know that the promise that was made to Abraham and Sarah, not just that they would have a son, but that their descendants would be as numerous as the stars or as the grains of sand, we know that promise comes true. We know more than that. We know that the God who promised these things remains faithful to those people throughout time. We know that the God who promised these things becomes present to us as one of us, laughs and cries and wipes his nose on people probably, just like we do. We know that the God who promises these things is present in those moments of incredible pain or incredible joy, of incredible hope and optimism, or incredible despair and cynicism. Whether we laugh out of joy or because we just can't even believe it, whether we cry because we're so moved or because we are so empty, we know that the God who made these promises to Sarah and to Abraham makes the same promise to us. I pitch a tent with you. I come and stay with you, and it doesn't matter. In laughter and in tears, in your celebration and in your brokenness, when you look into the future with hope, when you look at your own life with despair, I'm there. I don't judge that or condemn that. I am the God of your ancestors. I am the God of your children. I am the God who is with you in all of these times. I am the God who gives you one another to share those tears and those moments of laughter together. Yesterday, I was at New England Annual Conference because I was on this team that was part of the discussion. I went with a couple other people from Troy Conference to go to New England Conference and say, this is how we voted. The folks in Vermont are really excited about becoming part of your conference. Now they need to vote on it about whether or not they will honor that and have the same recommendation, and then that goes to yet another body who makes the actual determination. And so I traveled on Friday all the way out toward Boston, past Boston to Wenham, way out on the coast, and stayed overnight and, you know, did all this stuff. And yesterday afternoon, when we were supposed to get to this conversation, we ran out of time. And I was disappointed because, you know, like, I wanted that flip side. We had the one part that was that painful vote, and I wanted to kind of be there for the other part when there's a celebration of, yes, let's come together. I mean, I'm sure that's how they're going to vote. They're probably voting right now if they haven't already. The people I met were so excited about it and really thrilled to welcome us and to welcome the people from Vermont when they eventually joined. That wasn't it. It was just, you know, I wanted to celebrate that with them. I didn't get to do it. So guess what I did? Cried. But this time I made it to the bathroom. I wasn't on stage. I made it to the bathroom and I cried, which was a good thing. Now, I had received a lot of emails and notes and stuff from the people on that team, and one from Ted, my human handkerchief. And he said, be sure you bring Kleenex, which I did. And he said, when you take out that tissue, if you need it, and I hope you don't, but when you take out that tissue, remember that I'm there. I'm the human hanky. I'm right there. You can wipe your nose on me anytime you want. There's your tissue. Not just me, but all the people from Troy Conference are there, supporting you and surrounding you with love and affection and all of that and hope in this moment, whatever it is. So I'm in the bathroom and I'm starting to cry because, you know, I just did all this stuff and I didn't get to see the vote and okay, and it was a bad week. And I take out the tissue to dry my eyes on it and I look at it and I just start laughing. Thank you, Ted. Thank you, Troy Conference. Thank you, everyone who has been supporting me, and thank you most of all for this reminder. Thank you, God, for this laughter in the midst of tears. We have to laugh at ourselves. We have to laugh at our situations, because we would cry our eyes out if we didn't. Life is hard, hard, hard sometimes. Painful stuff. And it doesn't... Joy and hope and laughter doesn't make the pain go away. Those things can never make the pain go away. But in the midst of them, those are the moments we seek out. The moments where we know that God is with us, where we know that the people God puts in our lives are with us. The moments where we see celebration or hope or maybe even just raw irony in the midst of a difficult situation. That's when we remember that, like Sarah, we are promised that God is with us. Whether we're optimistic or pessimistic, whether we're in a moment of joy or of brokenness. Like Sarah, we are promised that we too will have a fruitful and a joyful legacy, and that God will encamp with us on life's journey. Amen.